message. As part of your new family, you're part of the family of God now. Let's share the good news of Jesus with others. We might think, here's the problem. We're born again. We're going to heaven. Why not just goof off the rest of my life? You know, my sin's forgiven anyway, right? So why not just goof off, you know? I could watch soap operas all day and play video games all night, and I'd be fine, right? Now, I'm not saying you can't ever watch a soap opera or play a video game. I'm not saying that we can't ever do that. But if that's all that we have in our life, I suspect that is a big problem. What do you think? Now, this passage talks about that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7, chapter 8, verse 16. We should reveal Jesus' message and lifestyle through our lives. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that all who enter may see the light. Now, in the first century, a lamp was a very simple little device. Here is one right here. This is a copy. The Arabs in Israel are glad to make lots of these to sell to tourists, and we bought some. And they'll also make you authentic ancient copies that they buried a year ago and dug up in the last week. And they'll charge a lot for those, by the way. But this is one of the cheap ones. It is just a clay little pot, and you put oil into the clay pot here, and it has a wick, and when the oil has gone up the wick, you just light the wick, and then you put it under a basket. And that basket, Robert, would you go into my office on top of my desk there? I forgot, but there's a basket way up high about here. I apologize, I forgot to bring it. But anyway, you just put it under a basket, right? And so there's the lamp down under the basket. Isn't that what you do with it? Isn't that smart, putting it under a basket or under your bed? Oh, wouldn't you want a lit lamp under your bed at night? Afraid you might wake up a little too warm in the morning if you had a lit lamp under your bed. But that's the illustration Jesus is giving. You don't do that. They all knew perfectly well that you don't put your lit lamp under a basket. Here you go. You know, you put it under a basket like this, and that lit lamp is going to really light up the place pretty soon, right? That's not what we do. Now, this is an illustration of our lives, because you see, lighting the lamp is a picture of salvation. See, we're not fulfilling the role God gave us as a lamp is not fulfilling its role until it's lit. We're not fulfilling our role until we're born again. Do you realize that? We're not fulfilling what God intended us to do until we're born again and start growing God's way. Just as the lamp is not fulfilling its role if it had no wick, no oil, and was never lit. We're now, as believers, fulfilling the role God intended us to have. You understand that? Realize that? That's what's happening in our lives as we're fulfilling what God intended us to be doing in our lives. Now, Matthew gives a fuller explanation of this from Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, 16. You, talking about us, you and me, Jesus was actually talking to his disciples, but includes you and me in the fuller sense, are the light of the world. You are, really. You know, you're at your workplace, and those are unbelievers all around you, and you know who's the only light there? You're at your truck depot, and the guys around you, they're swearing and all that, and you know who's the light there? Bob Prisk is. That's right. And who's the light at the fire station? Joe is. And who's the light that goes into the Tribune office? I guess who? Susie is. I mean, really, that's what our chiropractic college or, you know, wherever you are. You're the light there. And you may be the only light there in those different places. And in your neighborhood, all of you have neighbors, right? And in your neighborhood, you're the light of the world in that neighborhood. You really are. You're the one. See, I'm not the one. You're the one. I'm the light in my neighborhood. And the people in my neighborhood know that, you know, I'm a believer. They really do. And it does, it, you know, so I got to live right, by the way. We need to live right when we're that way. And so you're the light of the world in that neighborhood, in that place. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's you. You're the city set on a hill, you see. People are going to see you. Does make a difference what you do in your life, okay? Right? You don't want to join in on the swearing and dirty jokes and all that kind of thing. Why? Because you're supposed to be the light of the world, you see, and you got to do that. Right. Nor do they put a lamp, light a lamp, and put it under a bushel, under a basket, but on a lampstand that all may see. So there it is. They put it on something up high so that light goes all over the room. No electric light bulbs back then. That was your light right there on a lampstand so that all may see. And it gives light to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, friends, we can do good works and never, ever mention that we believe in Jesus, never mention that we're a Christian, and, oh, isn't that a nice person? See, we get the glory then. You see that? But if we let people know, you know, I want to do right because I really want to please the Lord Jesus, He's my Savior, then who gets the glory, us or Jesus? You see that? Jesus then gets the glory. So it's important that people know that we're believers. It's easy to go around, and we don't need to make a big deal of it, but it's easy to go around and skip that. Let's not skip that. Let's make those occasions in which someone asks you, you know, hey, I really appreciate you. You seem to be the kindest person around. You're the only person that listens to my problems. And, you know, how come you do that? And you can say, well, ain't I great? Or you can say, Jesus really cares about me, and I want to care about others the way He cared about me, you see. Just real, something real simple like that. And people get, oh, Jesus, oh, I'd like to know more about that, you know? And then you can share about the Lord Jesus. Now, right now we're studying in the adult Bible study, Christian lifestyle. Important that you be there, by the way. That's really, really a meaningful series that we're doing. My plan is for the next one to be on how to share the good news with people, how to disciple people when they believe. A couple months from now. And we'll probably have a membership class in between and a baptism class as well. But then we plan to do that so you can learn more of how to share the Lord Jesus with other people around us. Well, setting it on a lampstand is so that others can see Jesus in us, see His life in you and me. So now, what's the light mean? Now, when I taught the high school and junior high class, that was a lot of fun, by the way. I enjoyed that a real lot. But we talk about a metaphor. Remember that? We talked about a metaphor. And a metaphor is a picture of something. So we'd always go to, what is this a picture of? See, we don't just stick with a metaphor. We ask the question, what is the picture about? And so what is light? What is light a picture of? We're supposed to be light. Okay, that's a metaphor. It's a picture. Sounds good, but what does it mean? How does it apply to us? What's the significance of light in our lives? Well, the picture of light is this. Light is goodness, righteousness, holiness, you see. And darkness is a picture of wrong, evil, that sort of thing. So light is a picture. This light shining out is a picture of goodness, of righteousness, of holiness. And then that righteousness and holiness that we have as light has a source. And that source, by the way, is not us. That source is the Lord Jesus in us, you see. The Holy Spirit working in us. And so here we have really a picture of Jesus shining out through us as we live a righteous and holy life, the way we should be living in our lives. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, it's God that is really the one that should receive the glory of that. from Luke chapter 11, the light, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, that is, you're looking at good things, you have good goals, your vision of goals is good, doing good works, your whole body is full of light. So that's a picture of goodness. Now, in contrast, is the darkness of sin. The darkness of sin. But when your eye is bad, as you're looking at bad things, you shouldn't be doing that, or bad goals or bad works, your body is full of darkness. And from John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the condemnation, that the light, that is Jesus, came into the world. And men loved what? Darkness. That's astounding. Men loved darkness rather than light. Well, why do they love darkness? Because they can do all the bad things they want to do, and they think those are enjoyable. Well, in the long run, those bad things are what's going to destroy them. It really is. And those bad things are what's going to bring eternal judgment also. It really is a very serious thing, but they love those things. And so, friends, let's love the Lord Jesus and the light he shines upon us. It's a great privilege to be in his family. Now, light begins with God's work at salvation. Light begins there, and salvation, by the way, starts with, you know who it starts with? It starts with God. It does not start with you and me. It starts with God. Had God not acted, there would be no salvation. There is a real significance to understand that salvation began with God, what God intended, what God carried out in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, that is the creation, who also shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a great thing to see the glory of God in what Jesus has done for us. Salvation is from Jesus. Here's what he said. I have come as a light unto the world, that whoever believes in me should not remain in darkness. Does God want us to stay in darkness? Absolutely not. God wants us to have the light of the Lord Jesus in us. God wants us to be in his family. God wants us to forgive our sins. God wants us to be forever with him. That's the desire of God for us. Now, we have a job to do, though, and that is we need to spread the light of the message of salvation to others around us. And that's why the light needs to be on a lampstand so other people can see the light. Paul was commissioned to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan. That's what people are under around us. From the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. Now, very few people on their own, with just a Bible, have come to understand salvation. Do you realize that? Do you know that in the Middle Ages, the gospel is getting less and less and less? And then finally, an Augustinian monk named Martin Luther got his doctorate in theology, and he was not born again. Do you realize that? He was not born again. And he was looking, how do I get born again? How do I get saved? How do I get rid of this sin burden? As a doctor in theology, he was doing that. And finally, he was reading through his Greek New Testament in Romans, and he read, the just shall live by faith. Really? We're saved by faith? And he came to realize we're saved not by our good works, not by our good works, but by faith in Jesus. And he is one of the very rare people who came to understand that on their own with just a Bible in front of them. I want you to realize that. People around us do not have the ability to fully understand the gospel message for a very simple reason. In order to fully understand God's word, you need God's Holy Spirit in you to reveal God's word, to make it clear. Now, an unbeliever has a problem. Unbeliever does not have the Holy Spirit in them. Do they? They don't. So they've got a big problem. They need the Holy Spirit to understand the message of salvation, but they don't have the Holy Spirit to understand the message of salvation. So guess who needs to share it? Who needs to share it? We do. There you go. Who needs to share it? That's right. We do, who understand that for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves. See, the faith, even the faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Even the faith is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Look, I did 51% good, I'm going to heaven. You did 49% good, and you're going to hell.
You see, that'd be boasting, wouldn't it? You know what God's requirement for heaven is? You know, is it 51%? No, it's 100% good, perfect. And how many of us are perfect? Only one. Who is that? Jesus, you see. That's why he alone could pay for our sin on the cross, because he alone had no sin of his own to pay for. And that's what he did. And we need to be able to share that Jesus paid for your sin. And what you need to do is receive him as your Savior from your sin. And when you receive him, you receive his payment. No double jeopardy, no double payment. And you're right before God forever. You're in his family. That's the message that we need to share, because people don't understand that. And they can understand that as we are the light of the world, you see. We're the light of the world. Christians around the world are the light of the world. Around the world. Christians in Russia are the light of Russia. Christians in the Philippines are the light of Philippines. Christians in Lombard are the light of Lombard, you see. We're the light of the world. We're the ones who can share this good news that Jesus has given his life for us in order that we can be saved. And that is, that's the message people need to know, and they don't know it and don't understand it, with rare exceptions, without somebody sharing it. And that's our job, for you and me to do that. That's why I'll be teaching that in a few months, just how to share the good news of Jesus with people around you. Now, light is also a picture of Christ's work of goodness in our daily lives after we're saved. Negatively, light shows up the wrong in us. It really does. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. The light's coming. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The armor of light meaning that God's goodness, God's righteousness protects us from all kinds of bad things. If we do it God's way, it'll keep us out of a lot of trouble. And when we don't do it God's way, it is bad news. We get in all kinds of trouble. We really do. Very serious trouble. So the light of God's word protects us. From God's side, he is cleansing us from sin that we do now as well. This verse in 1 John is really important that we understand that he continues to cleanse us. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's among ourselves, as we're right with God. We're not cringing because I remember that evil thing I did, and I haven't asked God's forgiveness for it. With one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, that word cleanses is in a Greek tense that means continuously cleanses us. Now, this is not salvation. Salvation was a judicial act before God where legally our sin was gone. But we do continue sin. John says that in 1 John. And when we do, we need a relational cleansing. It's like if I was out planting tomatoes and working on weeding the tomatoes, and I still probably have dirt under my fingernails. Anyway, I planted some hot peppers. Anybody likes hot peppers? Can have a few when they grow. But anyway, I was out there and I got my hands real dirty. Well, now I have my hands all muddy, and I come up and I, you know, my hands all dirty and muddy and all awful. I shake my hand, Elizabeth. You're not so sure about that, you see, if my hands all muddy. You see, there's a relationship problem when we have a sin problem of we're sinning. We need our hands clean. That's like coming to God and confessing our sin. If we confess our sin, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a relational cleansing. You see the difference? At salvation, it was judicial, legal. Our sin all gone. See, that sin that I just did, you know, pictured by the garden dirt, is already paid for legally at salvation, at the cross actually, applied to us at salvation. Now I need the relational cleansing. In other words, if I said something mean to, I'm not going to do it, Joe. I'm sure you'd have something to say about it if I ever did, something mean to Elizabeth. I need to confess that to her. You understand that? In order to have the relationship. Now, right. Now, we see this with our children, for instance. Our children do something wrong, and there's a relational problem. See, they're still our children. When we do something wrong before God, are we still His children? Absolutely. Okay? You understand that? We're still His children. But there's a relational problem between us and God. And that relational problem is cleared away when we confess our sin to Him. And if we did something wrong to someone else, we confess to them as well. And by the way, if I ever do something wrong to any of you, I sometimes do stupid things and say stupid things. Anyway, if I do, and you're offended, just come and tell me, okay? Really, I'm serious. Just come and tell me. I felt offended by that. And I said, oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. What a dumb thing to do. I said, I apologize. I'm so sorry I said that. Does that make sense? We just do that. And that's a relational cleansing we have with each other. And it's a relational cleansing we have with God when we confess our sin to God. Now, we have really here three different things related to the light in our life. And that is, we want God's word to reveal sin. We can, so that we live right. We want to confess sin, and then we also have the question of when we sin, what happens in heaven? What happens there? Now, verse 17 says this. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. What about our sin in heaven? Is that going to be revealed? I mean, that's a serious question. The Bible answers that question, and I'm so thankful it does. Because the Bible says this concerning our sin judicially before God, this is what the Bible says about that. It says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Do you realize your sin is never going to be revealed in heaven? Your sin's never going to be revealed in heaven. But there is a problem here. And that is this. There's no problem with your sin being revealed in heaven. It's never going to be revealed. There's no caveat to that, by the way. It's not going to be revealed. Now, the question is, though, how do we live now? You remember my initial question? Our sins are forgiven. We're going to heaven so I can be a goof off with my life. Is that true? No, it's not. Now, here's the sin is not going to be revealed, but there's going to be a lack of reward. And I want to talk about that we need to cleanse our lives, and we need our lives right before God because there's going to be a lack of reward if we just goof off with our lives. And the goal of this is really, that God's work through His Word cleanse our lives. Now, your Word, in Psalm 105 again, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible, God's Word, is that which is used to direct us, that which is used to help us see our sin, and that is really, really, really crucial to our lives, is that we learn from God's Word how to live God's way, to live a holy life God's way. Now, the goal of our life should be showing Jesus to those around us, to glorify God the Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We should be living to God's glory, to God's praise. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we don't just hide our light under the basket. We're to be glorifying God with our light. Now, the Bible is also like a mirror, and the mirror of God's Word. But I want to use an illustration about a story. Do you remember that? Some of you probably heard this story. It was dark and stormy night, And the captain said to the mate, "Jim, tell us a story." And this is the story he told. "'Twas a dark and stormy night." And the captain said to the mate, "Jim, tell us a story." And this is the story he told. It goes on and on and on like that. My dad would do that sometimes when I ask him for a story. He would give that story. But the picture is this. Darkness. Dark and stormy night. Have you ever been at home and there's a storm coming on, and you're brushing your teeth in the bathroom, and all of a sudden the lights go out, and it's night, and it's dark, and you can't see a thing because there's no light shining in from outside because it's raining and storming, and every now and then you see a little bit because of lightning, and it is dark out there. You know, that's the picture of those around us without Jesus. That's what they're in. They're in darkness like that. That's why we need to shine out the light of our lives in our life around them. Now, again, the question is, what if we don't do that? Does that have any effect? What if we just goof off with our life and the person around us in darkness like that? I mean, they're really in darkness. And what if we are just a goof off with our life and never shine, never show any difference in our life, so they don't see any Christian characteristics of our life? We're just like the world around us, and no difference in our life. What if we're like that? Let's see what James says don't do. James says this: "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man seeing his natural face in the mirror. He sees himself and goes off and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, is not one who hears and forgets. He puts the law into practice, and God blesses his life." Now, this morning, and this is characteristic of me, well, my hair goes like that. Anybody have hair like, no, don't raise your hand, but anyway, that's what my hair does. It really does. And when you get humid out, I don't care what I've done to my hair, it goes like that all over the place. And so this morning I was getting ready, and I realized I'd forgotten to check and see if my hair was done, and it wasn't done. It was all over the place. So I saw myself in the mirror, okay? And what if I went to church, and here I'm preaching, and my hair goes all over the place? That would not be very cool. And my wife would have something to say about that, and so would Dave Yakeley if he was here, because he's, you know, a barber, so he'd notice that kind of thing. But now, what's the mirror here? What's the picture? The mirror is what? God's Word. As we read God's Word, it tells us, be kind one to another. Oh, wasn't kind to my wife or whoever, you know. Okay? I need to correct that. But I could forget about it and not do it and see, and there's my neighbor needs some help. And, oh, no, I'm busy right now. And so I'm not kind to my neighbor. I'm not living a Christian life. And there goes my testimony of being a Christian, because I'm not living according to God's Word. I'm goofing off with my life. And that is not good, because the Bible says, don't be only hearers of the Word, be doers of the Word. We're supposed to be doers of the Word of God as we live our life. We're to be doers, not just hearers of the Word of God. Now, okay, now we come to verse 17 again. "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed. Is there anything hidden that will not be known and come to light?" Now, we ask, what about that sin? Our sin is gone, friends. Our sin is gone. But here's the thing that I want us to realize, is that though the sin is gone, if we are living a goof-off life and we're not being a light to the world, then the Bible talks about the problem of our rewards. And that is, here it is, those good words, good deeds, good things, good changes God wants in our life are pictured as gold. Now, I wish I could bring a nice gold bar, but I don't have any. Anyway, that's what our life is when we do the Word of God. It's like gold and silver and precious stones in our life when we do God's living the way God wants us to live. It is a very precious thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, that's another picture of letting our light shine, living God's way, giving God's good news out, being kind, or wood, hand, stubble. That's the goof-off life. That's when you hide your light under a bushel. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he is built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but so is by fire. I want every one of you, you're my people, I'm your pastor, when you go to heaven, to have a great stack of gold, silver, precious stones rewards. I really mean that. That's what I want for you, every one of you. That's why I'm teaching you God's word, so you can live by God's word. I want every one of you to have that. Because, you see, the alternative is doing, quote, good works for, look how good I did, my pride, my glory, instead of God's glory. And you know what's going to happen to those good works? They're going to be burned. It's like wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to be burned. And while there'll be no sin revealed in heaven, friends, I have to say it, there's going to be either great reward or a lack of reward because of our goof-off life. I don't want for any of you to get to heaven and have no reward. I deeply desire that every one of you, when you come before the great Bema seat, the great award ceremony, where the Lord Jesus hands out those rewards to everyone, that you have a great reward waiting for you. Not that your life will be empty of all those things that should have been there. Now we come to verse. Next verse says, for whoever has, that is the person with gold, silver, precious stones, to him will be given more. As you serve God, you know what happens? You learn to serve God more effectively. As those who don't, however, it says, the person that does not have any of those, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. That's the person with wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be taken away. It'll be burned, you see. And we don't want that to happen to any of us. We want to be effectively serving God. Now we come to the verse 19. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. It was told Jesus by some who said, your mother and brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You see the point? We do the word of God. We hear the word of God and do it. That's the whole point of this message, is that our lives should be hearing the word of God as I preach and teach, and then putting it into practice. Now, you know who one of those brothers was? It says his mother and brothers were standing outside. One of those brothers was James. We have a book in the Bible, James. You know what James said? He said that very thing. He heard Jesus say that. He apparently was not a believer yet, but he remembered what Jesus said. And James wrote in James what I just read earlier, for anyone who is a hearer of the word, not a doer, is like the man seeing his natural face in the mirror and goes away and forgets what he saw. But he who hears is the one who puts into practice, you see. And then God blesses that life that puts into practice. James wrote that. Now, Jesus, when he was saying this about his family, he's not being anti-family. I mean, really, we have great blessing in our family, especially if they're believers, and doubly so physically and also spiritually together. But he's saying that it may be if your family is not a believer, your closer relationships may be actually in God's church with other people here as you share in God's family, in God's church. So let's do this. Let's serve God. Let's be not just hearers of the word. Let's put it into practice. Let our light shine so that people around us will see God's working in us. And they see God's working in us. Then they can realize, hey, there's something special there. And we may be able to proclaim to them, maybe that light that shares the good news with them as they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And, oh Lord, may we be doers of your word, not just hearers. Help us to let our light shine. Oh Lord, help us to keep away from sin that would dim that light. Help us to instead, oh Father, through Jesus, to be a revealer of Jesus to people around us. In his name, amen.